The topic this morning is really based on this song we just got through singing. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I've been singing that song in my head for about 3 weeks. For about 3 weeks now or so. I don't know what prompted it to start popping up in my head like that. But over and over, no matter what I'm doing, at some point during the day, this song has come before me. And it's an important topic for us to consider. We've talked a couple of times over the last couple of months about Jesus, about who He is, what He is, the things we need to understand about Him. How do we apply that to us? And one of the aspects that we need to recognize in regards to Jesus is His humility and His service. His bearing up under tribulation and trial. And that's what this song is talking about to a great degree. And so we want to consider those things this morning as we think about Jesus in me. And of course, the first thing that we notice when we start talking about Jesus in me is He's got to be in me. He's got to be evident. He needs to shine forth in who I am and what I'm all about. We certainly bring to mind Matthew and the statements there in the Sermon on the Mount regarding being a light to the world. And what we are talking about there is reflecting the light of Christ, the light of God in our life. And that's what we're talking about, is letting Christ shine through me. Notice the words of that first verse. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wonderful passion and purity. May His Spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Two phrases in that verse. His passion and purity need to be in us. They need to shine through. We have Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. On the board here in our first scripture of the list there. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Not only does Paul say there, Christ is shining in me, he talks about the passion and purity of Christ in that verse as well. The passion of Christ is no better explained than in the sacrifice He made for us on the cross. He died because He loved us. And we need to have that kind of passion for others in our life. Are we willing to give so that others might have life? And of course, the purity of Christ. The keeping away from sin. The turning away whenever sin presents itself. Is that in me? Well, if I want it to be, I need to be, as Paul told the Roman brethren, filled with the Spirit rather than the flesh. Let His Spirit change who we are and what we do. Now, we may say this a few more times while we go through this lesson, that you can only do that by reading and studying the Word of God. Y'all probably heard that before, right? That's how we let His Spirit change who we are. We need to let the Spirit of Jesus change us. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. The Spirit should control our actions. Go up a few verses in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5 for this reading. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. if we want the beauty of Jesus to be evident in our life, we need to fill ourselves with the Spirit. We need to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within us with wisdom. In fact, Paul told the Colossian brethren, with all wisdom. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Our desire should be to the Spirit. And when we are, the passion and purity of Christ will shine forth in our life. We will exhibit our desire to help others, our willingness to give, so that others might benefit and know life. We need to be filled with the Spirit and let it shine through us. Our second point is from a verse of this song that is not included in our book, but it is included in some other books. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbors refuse all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know just what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. That's a hard thought. When everything is falling apart and wearing you down, when you're at your last strand on your last rope just before you fall, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you, no matter how bad it is. That's hard. Yet we do it by depending upon the Lord. Jesus bore up under the burdens and trials and tribulations that he had to suffer because he put his trust in the Father and in the plan that God had designed from all eternity. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55 and verse 22. When you get to where you just think you cannot handle anymore, know that God is there to help you. Depend on him. Put your trust and your hope in him. And you will be able to still have that attitude of passion and purity and living in accordance with the Spirit, even when everything goes wrong. We'll talk about this a little bit this past Wednesday night when we talked about how grief can cause us so much trouble and lead us to do things that we would not normally do if we don't put our trust in the Lord, if we don't turn to him and use his support. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oftentimes when we talk about that verse, we talk about the fact that we need to deny our physical self and get rid of all the things that we have that keep wanting to pull us back to the world. I think one of the other things that we need to consider is we need to acknowledge that the problems we're dealing with don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Now, I know when you lose someone in some sort of an accident, it matters a lot. It really gets to you and hurts you and holds you down. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Unless you let it matter. It doesn't get between you and God. It doesn't keep you out of heaven. And the only things that matter are the things that will keep us out of heaven. And so we can give God those burdens. Is it easy? No, it's not. They keep coming back and slapping you in the back of the head and reminding you every now and then. But if we put our trust and our hope in God, if we're guiding our lives by the Spirit, we can still have compassion on our fellow man, even when everything is going wrong for us, even when we are at our lowest. And we understand that God has designed His plan in such a way that we don't have to bear any of these burdens alone. The Roman brethren were told, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of these without strength and not just please ourselves. The Galatian brethren were told, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in another, for each one will bear his own load. That seems kind of opposite of one another, doesn't it? We're responsible for our own actions, but we are able to support and help our brethren with their difficulties. Putting our hope and trust in the Lord puts things into perspective. It helps us to bear up and still allow the beauty and passion and purity of Christ to shine forth in our life, even in our darkest hours. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. We can still have the beauty of Jesus shining forth in our life, even in our darkest hour, if we put our trust and hope in Him. Now, what is recorded is the second verse in our songbook is another difficult one. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. I recall growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Man, what a false proverb that was. I suspect every single one of us at some time or another have felt pain, emotional pain, if nothing else, at the words of another. Words hurt. People can be cruel. They can be terrible. Once they learn of your weakness, we sometimes say kids can be mean, but adults are meaner than kids. And in this day and age of communication and everybody knowing everything and anybody can say anything to anybody they want about anything, I'm not going to say it happens more often, but it sure is more noticeable. Words hurt. They can destroy. Yes, words, we're encouraged as Christians to use words to edify and build up, but they can also tear down. Words can be spoken that will just bring us to our knees in such a manner that we cannot function anymore. Yet, even in that situation, we can show the beauty of Jesus. We can have compassion. We can exercise concern and humility toward our fellow man, realizing who we are in the grand scheme of things. Why? Well, because as the verse of the song says, when that happens to you, realize you're not alone. The same thing happened to the Christ. Unjust, evil, and wicked lies and deceit are what put him on the cross. Now, I know it was the eternal plan of God. It was going to happen. But go read those accounts in the latter parts of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 27, we have referenced here. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. That's the way it ought to be, but that's not always the way it is. Somebody has something against us, they go tell everybody else about it rather than us. And that makes it hard for us to deal. But when we remember what Jesus went through, when we remember the suffering and shame, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 12, I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Those who speak words against us, those who gossip, those who pass lies, those who seek to destroy us with their message will be held accountable in the end. But we have to deal with that right now, don't we? We've got to find a way to work through those things and remembering the death of the Savior and the deceit and the affliction that he endured because he spoke the truth that he was the Son of God and the people wouldn't accept it. There again, what we're doing is we're putting our trust and our hope and the one who cares, the one who can help, who can assist. Isaiah chapter 53, just verse 7 and 8, there's a long discourse there from Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? He died for somebody else, for me. And all the things that were said about him, all of the things that were done to him, the mocking and the shame that was heaped upon him in that trial, he did not retaliate. And if we put our trust and our hope in him, we can do the same. Vengeance is not for us. Vengeance is for God. Revenge is not our place. Vengeance is for God. We're not here to destroy our enemies. We're here to save our enemies. That's not our immediate reaction to such things, though, is it? Our first thought is, how do I repay them for this? Our first thought ought to be, let God take care of this. What can I do to help them know him? And if you find an easy way to do that, let me know. Really? Because I hadn't found one yet. I still struggle with that. Because it's not easy. But if we want the beauty of Jesus to shine through us, if we want people to see Christ living in me, we've got to get closer to how He lived and how He conducted and what He did even as it led up to His death on the cross. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. From the dawn of the morning to the close of day. An example in deeds and in all you say. Lay your gifts at His feet. Ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. It doesn't matter what time the clock has on it, whether you wake up to sunshine or darkness, from the time you are aware in the morning through to the time you lose yourself in sleep at night, everything you do and say should show forth Jesus. Everything. Do you remember what Jesus told His apostles and disciples? By this they shall know that you are My disciples, by your love one for another. You remember that in other places He also, maybe even in that place as well, in the context, He said, love your enemies. Always serving God. I take exception sometimes to folks who want to promote the idea that it doesn't matter, it doesn't have as much effect what we do or how we worship in assembly, because we're always worshiping God. And what we can worship God here, we can worship there. In everything we do, we're worshiping God. Because I think they miss the concept of the worship we have together as a congregation and the purpose for gathering and those sort of things. But we are constantly offering things to God. When that favorite song comes in your head, not the one on the radio, the one from singing the church or from the songbook, and you sing it, you're praising God. You're worshiping and honoring God. You're offering a gift to God. But when you react to the person that cuts in front of you just before you're supposed to get in your turn lane to get off on 4:30 when it's time to come home from the doctor's office in Little Rock at about 3:30 or 4, how you react to that, that's also an offering to God. He sees what you did. Is it a pleasing offering in the sight of God? Is it a sweet-smelling savor to Him? Oftentimes when I sing this verse or hear this verse in my head and I read that, ever strive to keep sweet, I get the image of some little child bringing a gift to another person and the joy they have in giving it to them. And the joy that one has in receiving. That innocence. That joy that comes simply from the act of helping someone else. That's kind of the idea that's talked about here. We need to have that as we offer to God. Everything that we do. If anyone comes after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me, as Luke records that statement. Daily. It's an all-the-time thing. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know how important verse 4, 5, and 6 are in regards to unity. But let's not forget the importance of verse 1, 2, and 3 in that chapter. Gentleness, humility, seeking after peace. Always. When Paul talks about walking worthy, he's talking about your daily way of life. Must show Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Notice what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. No matter what's happening to you, Timothy, no matter what they say, you keep being like Christ. Always. Giving completely over to the rule of the Savior. Figuratively and sometimes even literally imitating Mary as she came to Jesus and fell at His feet. Or Thomas, when he responded to Christ in recognition, "My Lord and my God." Always Christ in me. No matter how hard it may be, no matter what anybody may say to me or about me, I need to let Jesus shine in my life. I need to show passion and purity like I see in Christ. I need to show humility and submission. Desire to help rather than to harm. And complete submission to the will of God in everything. It needs to shine forth. It needs to be so evident in my life that when others see me, they think of God and of Christ. How close can we get to that? We need to live our lives in a manner that shows forth Christ. If you're not a child of God, there is no way possible for you to do that. Because first and foremost, Christ was obedient to the commands of God in all things. If you want to be like Christ, and you want to be in the family of God, you must also be obedient to the commands of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that God gave us a plan, that He provided a means by which we could be saved? And that way is Christ, and His death on the cross. And take action. Change your ways. To live your life to be an example of that. Confess your belief in the Savior. And have your sins washed away in obedient baptism. Cleansed by the blood of Christ, by being put to death and raised again with Christ. Confess it. Your sins will be washed away. You've taken those steps in the past and you find that you're straight. You're not letting the beauty of Jesus show forth in your life. You stumble. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. If we'll confess our sins, He's promised
to forgive us our sins and wipe them away as if they've never been. If you're stumbling over things that are giving you difficulty overcoming, rather than can help. We can pray with you and for you to God so that you might be forgiven. And we can strengthen you in your weakness just as you can strengthen us in our weaknesses. And we can all work together to show forth Christ in our life. If you look this morning and find that you're subject to the invitation of the gospel, opportunity is yours. Why not answer the call of Christ as we stand and sing for the church?